Hello, I'm Rebecca Rosewood, and this is Thrice Cursed.
Warning, Thrice Cursed is a true crime and paranormal podcast. It is intended for mature audiences. Some graphic depictions of violence and other unpleasant material may exist beyond this point. For more specific content warnings, please reference the episode notes.
Welcome back to the third installment of 22 and 22. In this series, I will have told you thrice now of a murder that was finally solved in 2022. In the last 22 and 22 episode, I discussed the highly publicized case of Brittany Drexel, which saw a good amount of media coverage thanks in no small part to the hard work and dedication of her family. This week, I'll be discussing a case that saw almost no media attention, likely due to bias. A bias that we see far too frequently. Due to the lack of coverage, the information I have will be very limited. But every story, no matter how short, deserves to be told. So today I'm telling that story. On October 23rd, 1988, the body of a 26-year-old woman was discovered in a wooded area in Perry Township near Reading, Pennsylvania. She was quickly identified as Anna Jean Kane. Anna was the mother of three children, one girl and two boys, described as a firecracker. According to Anna's daughter, she was very outgoing, not afraid of anything, very honest, blunt, and caring. I chose to highlight this information first because the one news article I could find from the time of her murder failed to mention any details about who Anna was as a person. Full disclosure, a more recent source I found did mention an additional news article from 1990, but I was unable to locate that article to see if the coverage was any less biased, though I genuinely doubt it was. In the article I could find, they focused on her occupation. Anna had been unemployed at the time of her death and had turned to sex work to make ends meet. And as tends to happen, the media all but wrote her off as yet another victim who deserved what she got because of the profession she chose. And if you didn't hear the air quotes, they were certainly there. A high-risk lifestyle doesn't make a person any less worthy of life, love, or justice. Now that that's been said, we can continue. More specifically, Anna's body was found off the south berm of the Ontelani Trail, approximately 5 east of Schumachersville, near the Route 662 intersection. The unsettling discovery occurred when a motorist, stranded due to a breakdown, ventured away from his vehicle in an effort to seek assistance. At approximately 3:15 p.m., he stumbled upon Anna Kane's remains. She was clothed, had facial bruises, and a rope fastened around her neck. Authorities were easily able to determine that Anna had been murdered elsewhere prior to being left on the side of the road. The night prior to her discovery had been a rainy one, and the ground surrounding and beneath her was wet. But interestingly enough, Anna's clothing wasn't. The previous evening's rainstorm had ended around 12 a.m., leading authorities to believe that Anna had been murdered sometime within the last 12 hours. According to an autopsy performed at Reading Hospital, Anna died from asphyxiation due to strangulation with rope, or baling twine to be specific. As I mentioned previously, that rope had been left around her neck. She also had several facial contusions, making it clear that Anna had fought her attacker before being overpowered. One thing that's interesting to note is that the forensic pathologist responsible for performing her autopsy didn't believe she'd been sexually assaulted. Given the heavy focus on her profession in the news articles, you would think that there had been some kind of evidence pointing to a sexual nature. But nope, just straight up good old-fashioned bias. You gotta love it. I don't love it. Is that obvious? I hope that's obvious. But my contempt for the misogyny and woman hatred aside, it does beg the question. If there was no sexual component to the crime, what was the motive? was there one? But that's the extent of what was included in the newspaper article. There wasn't even a phone number to call with tips, just a statement of, it is a homicide and is being handled as such. So, no real indication that they actually gave a shit about solving the murder, which I'm sure was just lovely for, you know, her family. Also probably felt great for the murderer because they were like, no one's looking for me. Nobody cares. They didn't even put in a tip line. Fucking A. A news article released in 2018, 30 years following Anna's murder, provided some more details. Anna Kane had last been seen alive around 1 a.m., about 14 hours before her body was found. She'd been in the area considered to be the heart of Reading's red light district. Investigators believe she had gone into the city to find a customer for the evening. Whether or not she actually did, we don't know. Thankfully, despite the seeming lack of desire to actually solve this case, during the initial investigation, DNA evidence had been collected from Anna's clothing. The DNA revealed that her attacker had been a man, but there was nothing to match it to. When the FBI's combined DNA index system was started in 1998, the DNA profile from Anna's clothing was not in it. 2 years went by with no leads until the Reading Eagle newspaper published an article with a photo of Anna on the front page in 1990. The article included the details of her murder and a request for information from the public. The response they received was chilling. An anonymous letter was received by the newspaper. To this day, the details of that letter have not been released, and believe me, I looked. All that is known publicly is that the killer signed the letter, Concerned Citizen. And they mentioned several intimate details about the murder that only the killer could have known. That letter would later prove to be from the murderer. Shocking, I know. Murderers never involve themselves in the investigation or send letters to newspapers. Yeah, what a curveball. The envelope had been sealed with saliva, and the investigators were able to match it to the unidentified male DNA pulled from Anna's clothing. This feels very much like the, oh, if I send in a floppy disk, will you guys be able to figure out it was me? No? Okay, great. So authorities were finally one step closer to solving her murder, but still much too far away. Aside from the fact that the DNA on the letter matched the other DNA that led them to no one, there was nothing to go on. That is, until 2022. Nearly 35 years after her brutal murder, Anna Kane's family finally has answers thanks to genetic genealogy testing conducted by Parabon Nanolabs in Virginia. The testing led back to a man named Scott Grimm, and after executing a warrant for Grimm's DNA, authorities were able to match the DNA to the letter and Anna's clothing. Anna Kane's children could finally put a face to the monster that changed the course of their entire lives. Only, it wasn't all good news. The man behind the murder would never see the consequences of his actions. Scott Grimm died of natural causes in 2018 at the age of 58. He would have been 26 years old at the time of Anna's murder. Now, I hear you asking, if he's been dead for 4 years, how did the police get his DNA for testing? Well, I don't know. Pennsylvania State Police Sergeant Nathan Trait would say nothing more than, it was obtained legally through a search warrant. As authorities continued to dig deeper into Grimm's life, they were able to discover that he'd actually been arrested in Berks County in 2002. Allegedly, Grimm had sent a former business partner several threatening letters. Beyond this unrelated event, little more is known about Grimm or his connection to Anna Kane. The investigating authorities have said that they intend to continue the investigation into Grimm, including but not limited to examining his relationship with Anna. As of yet, interviews with those familiar with Grimm have revealed no information relevant to Anna, though authorities believe an explanation is out there. They just haven't found it yet. They also intend to run Grimm's DNA against other cold cases. While the murder of Anna Kane is technically solved, Her family will always have questions. Anna's daughter, who was 9 at the time of her murder, said she has mixed emotions. She's particularly sad that her grandmother died before receiving any form of closure. She feels lucky enough to even remember her mother, whereas her brothers don't. And she feels angry. Angry that her mother's killer will never have to face the consequences of his actions. This has been the cursed tale of a young mother taken too soon and the questions left behind. Now, I know that this was a much shorter episode. I do apologize for that. There really just wasn't a lot of information available, unfortunately. Perhaps if I had submitted an FOIA, I might have been able to find something more. But because it is still technically an open case, due to the fact that they haven't finished investigating everything, it's very likely they wouldn't have released the information to me anyway. I do have a Google alert set for this case, so should anything come up with it, I will absolutely be posting an update. Hopefully, there will be some kind of better answer for Anna's family. It's kind of a pipe dream, but that is the hope. As for this episode being late, I do also want to apologize for that. I had intended to post it this morning, the morning of the episode release, but my cat, Tiger Lily, has actually been acting very strange. I've been calling it Weeble Wobble. I don't know. She's just very off balance. The vets called it ataxia. We don't know what's causing it. So we kind of had an emergency vet situation this morning because she's off her balance. She's falling off of the furniture. So we did a lot of blood work. We don't really know what's wrong. They said it could be nothing. They said it could be seizures. So please keep her in your thoughts and just wish for the best. It has been a particularly trying day, and doesn't matter. But anyway, so I wanted to fully disclose why this episode was late. I do intend to continue fulfilling my promises to you guys. I know I disappeared for a really long time, and I'm trying to do my best to not let that be a thing again. Today was just a little hard, so I'm sorry that this episode is late. I'm doing my best to do better. So thank you for sticking in there with me. I really appreciate it. And this has been a very long detour, so sorry for that. lots of apologies. This is the Thrice Cursed Apology Tour 2023. So happy you could get tickets for it. Anyway, for more cursed content, you can find me at thricecursedpod.com. You can also find me on social media at ThriceCursePod. For information about joining the Discord server, Facebook group, Patreon, making a donation, buying merch, or anything else, please head over to the website. You can also email me at ThriceCursePod@gmail.com. And finally, to see my sources, as always, you can head over to the blog on my website. Until next time, keep your curses hexy and your hex is sexy. Prior before? Thankfully, during the initial, authorities were able to match the DNA to the